Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Verses 1 through 13, Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word is you. And thank you for the fact that your word is a book of grace, a book of power, a book of love, but also it's a book of faith, a book that empowers and designs and strengthens our faith and nourishes our faith on a daily basis. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that by your mercy and your grace, our faith can and will grow on a daily basis. Help us to be wise enough to seek to build our faith and grow in our understanding of how to put our faith to work daily as we follow you one day at a time. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, this morning I want to ask for boldness. In the same way that the disciples went out in boldness whenever they received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, Father, I ask that you'd create a boldness in us to follow in your ways, that we'd seek out your face, that we'd walk in faith, pursuing your kingdom, Father, that we'd ask you for how we should go and walk out ministry, ask you for in what areas we need repentance, ask you for how we need to grow in your kingdom, Father. And Father, I ask that we would just walk in more boldness in pursuing you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today, we're looking at the topic, learning how to turn on the switch of faith. And, you know, something I'd like to say to every single listener, you know, God's word tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please him. In other words, without faith, there's no way to in any way to please God. So apparently, our faith is extremely important to everything in the Christian life and in the kingdom of God. We're to operate by faith every day, diligently in our lives as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the study of faith and learning how to put our faith to work is extremely important in the life of every believer. So today, as we look at the topic, learning how to turn on the switch of faith, I want to encourage you to really follow along, encourage you to take notes, and also, if you'd like to get copies of articles that we share, please do email us. Ask for any, and if you want to just ask for, send me whatever articles you have on the topic of faith. We're glad to share them with you because our hope is that you'll grow mightily and tremendously in your faith and in learning how to put your faith to work. And as I mentioned before, my encouragement is that every one of you as listeners will be a lifelong student in the school of faith who never graduates because there's more for us all to learn. So, read from Hebrews 11 to begin with a few moments ago. I'm going to go ahead and read the entire chapter this time. And what I want to encourage you to do is note this. As you listen to each individual mention, remember this. There's an important life lesson on faith that you and I can learn from every individual mention in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. I would encourage you to make it a goal to read Hebrews 11 often because it's a chapter that, of course, obviously can encourage and strengthen your faith. But keep in mind, think about the individual things these people accomplished as they put their faith to work, the exploits they did as they put their faith to work. So again, Hebrews chapter 11, picking up at verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offerings gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner, living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill the firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. End of Hebrews chapter 11. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, learning how to turn on the switch of faith. We'll be right back.
To retreat, I got some dreams that are bigger than me. I might be outmatched, outsized, the underdog in the fight of my life. Is it so crazy to believe?
that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach. Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. Yeah, it's out of my league. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond anything that I got the strength to do. In over my head keeps me counting on you. I'm leaving the sweet spot. Sure shot, trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. Yeah, you keep on making me see.
Music of Toby Mac with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, learning how to turn on the switch of faith. And as we've read through Hebrews chapter 11, again, my encouragement is take time to read through and really meditate and think on Hebrews 11. Notice that every individual mentioned, they put their faith to work and accomplished something mighty for the building of God's kingdom and for His glory. God calls each of us to put our faith to work so that we too can accomplish great things God is calling us individually to do. Yet at the same time, everyone is challenged with fear. Everyone is challenged with the idea of just wondering, well, does God really mean that? Can I really trust God to help me come, to help me to accomplish this task? All of us are challenged. Again, fear tries to come against every single one of us. It's important that we take God at His word. Psalm 23 tells us these words of wisdom, power, and faith. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 lets us know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So learning how to put our faith to work, learning how to apply our faith in every area of our life is very, very important. Now, Psalm 23 is a wonderful psalm. In fact, it may very well be one of, if not the most favorite scriptures in all of the world. But keep in mind, yes, it's a powerful psalm, a beautiful and encouraging psalm, but also it's a weapon. It's a faith weapon. You and I would be wise to speak Psalm 23 and stand on its promises every day of our lives, quoting it and letting God know, God, I'm believing You, Lord, for every promise in Psalm 23. Why is that a weapon? Because keep in mind, all of the Word of God is a weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit. Just a reminder, remember there are at least seven ways we can use God's Word every day. And remember, every day we can use it not only does it edify and encourage us in our faith to use them in these ways, but also these are seven ways whereby we can release our faith as well. Again, we can read the Word of God. Number one, read it, then hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. Remember, each of these are different ways to use the Word of God, but they're different ways to use the sword of the Spirit in your life. And each way is a way whereby you can build the kingdom of God and tear down the kingdom of God. Let me repeat those again. Every day with the Word of God, we can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. So remember, obedience is one way to express your faith. And as we put the Word of God to work in each of these ways, we're obeying God and we're honoring God as well. And it's a way to help us walk in victory more so. So one of the ways that quoting and standing on the promises of Psalm 23 is utilizing one of these, of course, is that's speaking the word of God, standing on the promises of God's word. Remember, that is an act of battling the kingdom of darkness and building the kingdom of light. So we're called to be believers, to put the word of God to work on a daily basis and thereby put our faith to work on a daily basis. So again, as we're looking at the topic, learning how to turn on the switch of faith, that's a very important goal for each one of us. I want to share an article now that is entitled Turning on the Switch of Faith, an article that we had on the AFA stand. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email me, joseph@afr.net. But listen to the insights that we share in the article. Again, the title, Turning on the Switch of Faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, Hebrews 11, 6. Then 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. There is a very important truth that too many believers have sometimes failed to understand. Some of the promises of God are not, quote unquote, automatic. We as believers and followers of Christ have a part to play in putting them to work. The life of a follower of Christ is not like driving an automatic transmission car. You just get in and drive it. No, it's more like a standard shift or four speed. You have to know how to put it in gear. It doesn't, quote unquote, shift by itself. Another analogy would be this one. It's like having electricity in your house, but you do not know where the power switches are to turn the lights on and off. It might be fine when things are going well during the day, but what about when darkness falls? The electric power's there, but you need to know how to find the light switch and turn the light switch on to have the benefit of light and power. The Lord tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So very clearly, knowing how to walk in faith and how to aggressively put your faith to work in life is extremely important in the life of any believer. Know also whether we win or lose in the daily battles of life has much to do with knowing how to use our faith as the weapon that it is. One of the great illustrations of this truth in the Word of God is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David, even as a young man, knew how to put his faith to work, and by the grace of God, he used it. He did use it and won a great victory for the kingdom of God and for Israel. Four ways to turn your faith to full power. The following are ways we can aggressively put our faith to work in our lives. Number one, speak and stand on the Word of God and His promises every day. Speak the promises of God and His Word and stand on them on a daily basis. If your circumstances seem to contradict what the Word of God says, speak and stand on God's Word anyway. God loves keeping His Word. Number two, pray the Word of God. To pray the Word of God is to pray the will of God. Number three, obey the Word of God. James 1:22 tells us, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Again, James 1:22. Number four, act on the Word of God. Act like you believe what the Word of God says. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 tell us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Daily we are called to aggressively use the weapon of faith, along with all the armor that God supplies. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful of this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let us be obedient to the challenge and do this. There's much kingdom work to be done, and without us putting our faith in our Heavenly Father to work, it's not going to get done. We must be about our Father's business. Again, the title of that article, Turning on the Switch of Faith. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And we'd be glad to get a copy of that article. Again, we're encouraging you to take it and spend time reading and thinking on the insights shared. Use it as a tool to help disciple your family as well. But also, along with that too, our encouragement is that you would email it and forward it to other persons, maybe extended family members, friends, coworkers, fellow church members, but share it with others as well. Hope you'll do that. Again, today we're looking at the topic, learning how to turn on the switch of faith. And keep in mind, the application of our faith, in other words, the need for us to be using our faith, is ongoing. Because throughout the day, we're tempted to be fearful or hesitant to do things that we may feel God has called us to do in big and little ways as well. But remember this, if we want to please God, our operating in faith is critical to everything in our Christian life. So it's very, very important. The article alludes to the powerful story found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David and Goliath. Now, I want to encourage you also, for time reasons, we're not going to read that chapter at this point in time, but I want you to encourage you to take the time to read and study that chapter. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David coming before Goliath on the battlefield and defeating him. It's a powerful story and lots of people know it, but let me tell you why it's wise to read and study that chapter. The chapter lays out a true story, a true incident that happened in the life of David, whereby he won a great victory for God and for the kingdom of God. But also there's some powerful, powerful faith lessons. Again, just to paint the picture, the Israelites are on one side of a valley and the Philistine army is on the other side, and their champion Goliath comes out for 40 days challenging any one man from Israel to come and fight him. But all the Israelite soldiers are afraid to fight him. King Saul, the great warrior, he too is afraid to fight Goliath. And keep in mind, the army of God and the people of God, they represent the church. What a tragedy to think that, again, the devil, through Goliath, was challenging the people of God, and all of them were so afraid that not a single one would come out and challenge him. Well, again, it was tragic in many ways because the God of the Israelites could use simply one person that would trust him. But at that point in time, not a single soldier stepped forward to challenge Goliath. But then here comes a shepherd boy by the name of David, who's not even a soldier in the army. He's a young man who knew God and believed in his Heavenly Father. He was coming to bring some things for his brothers as they were there on the battlefield. Three of his brothers were in the army with Saul. And he brought them, and he heard the challenge of Goliath, and he decided that with God's help, he would go and fight the giant. Well, after a conversation with King Saul allows him to go. And he goes out and steps on the field with no sword in his hand, but he has his sling and five smooth stones. And he steps out and he defeats Goliath on the battlefield. And not only does he defeat Goliath, cuts his head off, then the whole Philistine army is set with fear and they turn and run in fright. Now, all of a sudden, the whole Israelite army is emboldened. They're bold now and they're ready to chase the Philistine army. And there was a great slaughter against the Philistine army that day. And it started as God used one young man, one teenage boy by the name of David, who trusted God to bring about a great victory. And he did. Well, keep in mind, Goliath was a giant, and sadly, the whole Israelite army was too scared to even try to fight the giant before them. A question we're wise to ask ourselves is, what giants are there in our lives that we're so fearful we don't even want to step out on the battlefield with them? Yet again, keep in mind, David was a role model for King Saul and every other soldier in the Israelite army because he trusted in his God. He knew that his God was bigger than the giant before him. How important it is that you and I recognize that we all face giants in our lives. We all have challenges that sometimes will tell us, don't even try. Don't even try to come out on the battlefield. You know you can't do this. But God wants us to know that with his help, God is big enough to help us defeat every giant that we face. How important it is that we know how to turn on the switch of faith and put our faith to work to go forth to defeat every giant that we face in our lives. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called us to be people that know how to put our faith to work every day, that know how to turn on the switch of faith and put our faith to work and go out and defeat giants in every situation, every circumstance in our lives. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that even though life seems to be full of giants, the truth is that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much we can accomplish as we simply put our faith and trust in you and in your word to work. That we are called to be faith warriors on the battlefields of life who know how to step out and in faith win on a daily basis. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking today at the topic, learning how to turn on the switch of faith. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, learning how to turn on the switch of faith. And again, an encouragement to every single listener is that each and every one of us, if we want to please God, it's critical that we're walking by faith, actually moment by moment, not just day by day, but moment by moment. Remember, Satan tries to come against every single one of us with the massive weapon of fear to make us fearful that we can even possibly defeat some of the giants, the challenges, the storms that we may be facing in our lives. Fearful that somehow or another, maybe God's word may not work for us, or maybe we don't know how to apply it. It's important to know, too, that, again, we're never to operate by fear. We're to operate by faith and trust in our Heavenly Father and in his word. I want to invite you to look with us in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. A powerful story with some very important faith lessons in it for us as well. In Numbers chapter 13, picking up at verse 25. Again, Numbers 13, verse 25. Now, just to kind of set it up, keep in mind here in this passage, Moses has sent 12 spies into the promised land to spy it out before they go in to conquer it. Their job was to go in and more or less survey the land, take a look at it. Their job was not to see whether or not they could accomplish the task. That was never the issue because with God's help, God certainly intended for them to go in and conquer it with his help and in his power, and that they would be successful. But note what happens when they come back after spying out the land. Numbers 13, picking up at verse 25. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Again, verses 25 to 32. Numbers chapter 13. Now again, a powerful story in Scripture with some very important faith lessons for all believers of all times in all circumstances. Keep in mind, the Israelite spies, the 12 spies that were sent, leaders from the different tribes of Israel, were sent to spy out the land, but their job was not to see whether or not they could do it. Remember this, God doesn't call us to do things we cannot do. God calls us to do things we can only do in his strength, in his spirit, and in his wisdom. But he'll never call us to do things we cannot do. Well, sadly, these 12 spies came back, and 10 of them came back with what the Bible refers to as an evil report or a bad report. What made it an evil or a bad report? It was a report of unbelief. They saw it was a good land, a nice land, a wonderful land, but their perspective was the 10 who said, we can't do it. They didn't believe that with God's help, they could go in and conquer the promised land. Now, two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, believed that with God's help, they could go and conquer it. 10 said one thing, 2 said another. 10 of them believed that the task was too big. The giants were too big. The problems were too big. They just believed they couldn't do it. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, believed that with God's help, they could do it. Note this, God let all the spies have what they said. The 10 who said, we can't do it, they didn't do it. In fact, those spies died very soon after they came back with an evil report, and what a tragedy. And they spread their report amongst the Israelites, and the majority of Israel believed the 10 spies and believed that they couldn't take the promised land. Sadly, and note too, the 10 spies even exaggerated with their report. Note they came back and they said it was a nice land, but the people are too big, the cities are too fortified, we can't do it. That was their perspective. And they even went on to, again, exaggerate the problems. They said, the land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. How would the land devour them? It was a nice land. In what way would the land possibly devour them? And they said, all the people we saw were huge. Now, all the people weren't huge, but they did see people that were big people. But they are saying now all the people we saw were huge. They went on to say, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's the way they thought, too. In other words, these 10 spies felt like the Israelites were like grasshoppers before the people, some of the people that they saw in the promised land. They decided that they felt like the Israelites were like grasshoppers before them. And they even said that the people in Canaan saw them as grasshoppers. Now again, how would they know that? They couldn't read their minds, but they came to that conclusion. And then, so sadly, they didn't believe that with God's help they could conquer the land, and they even exaggerated and made it an even more difficult situation than it really was, at least in their minds. Well, the 10 who said, we can't do it, they didn't do it. But the 2 spies who said, we can do it, they did do it. Sadly, again, the 10 spies who spread the evil report died soon after they came back with an evil report. Caleb and Joshua, though, they lived to see and go in and help conquer the promised land. Now, sadly, the majority of the Israelites believed the 10 spies, and so most of them believed that with God's help they couldn't, and they got upset and were angry, began to murmur against Moses. Well, God decided that everyone 20 years old and older, because they didn't believe God, they would not go in and see the promised land. And so all the people 20 years old and older of that group, other than Joshua and Caleb, did not go in to see the promised land. They missed this great opportunity because they didn't believe God. But Joshua and Caleb, because they did believe God, God let them for 40 years live long enough to go in and help conquer the promised land. And during that 40 years, all the other people 20 years old and older died out. What a tragedy, because God was ready to take them into the promised land, but because of a lack of faith, they didn't go in and conquer the promised land. No one except Joshua and Caleb, who believed that with God's help that they could. So again, looking at the 12 spies, the 10 who said, we can't do it, didn't do it. The 2 who said, with God's help, we can do it, they did do it. What was the difference? 2 of them believed their God, and the other 10 did not. Now again, the lessons for every believer listening are huge for us in our lives. God has a calling and many callings on each of our lives. He calls us to do many tasks, many things, lays many opportunities before us. And it's our job to listen to God and obey him and believe that with his help, we can go forth and accomplish everything he's called us to accomplish. But the fact is, the devil will try to come against every one of us with fear, like he came against the 10 spies, who they too were fearful, and they spread a fearful report amongst the Israelites. And sadly, the Israelites swallowed that report. It's important to know that all of us face giants in our lives, and the devil will try to always tell us the giants you have in your life are too big. They're too large. They're too powerful. You can't overcome them. But God's calling is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're to trust God to go forth and conquer every giant that you and I face in our lives. God is calling some individuals to be doctors or lawyers or preachers or teachers or any of a number of other jobs. And keep in mind, he's calling some people to start a business or to start a ministry or to go into the ministry, go on the mission field, all sorts of challenges. And with every challenge, every calling, the devil will try to come against you and tell you that's too big, it's too difficult, you can't raise the money, you can't do this, you can't do that, you don't have the talent, you don't have the wisdom, you don't have the graces. The devil will try to challenge you with anything God is calling you to. But the key is, put your faith to work. Put your faith in gear. Turn on the switch of faith and go forth with the attitude, with God's help, I can do this. It's critical to know that every one of us needs to learn how to turn the switch of faith on in our lives, put it to work, because God has much work for us all to do. But it can only be accomplished in his power and in his grace, and it's by putting your faith to work. How important it is that we know how to put our faith in gear, we know how to turn that switch on, and carry that work out. All of us are called to live by faith. May we daily make that the goal, that we're trusting him with his help. We can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to turn on the switch of faith with every situation, every circumstance, in every situation in our lives, knowing that with your help, we can walk in victory. With your help, we can walk as victorious warriors on the battlefield of life. Help us to know we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to stand still and be in the same place. With your help, we can move forward, accomplishing the work you've called us to. Help us to know, Lord, that like Joshua and Caleb, our job is to believe that you can do your job, and that we always want to avoid being like the 10 spies who felt like The task is too big. The giants are too big. The troubles are too big. Help us to know, Lord, that you're bigger than any giant, any challenge, any storm we may ever face. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day to be saved. If you'd like to make this eternally important decision, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with us even now and ask Christ to come in and save you and make you brand new today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I have sinned and done wrong. I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've ever done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, help me to do that and trust you fully. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you, email to you some resources that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and put down deep roots. Please email us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. We definitely want to get it into your possession. Please email us again, joseph@afr.net, to receive those resource materials in your possession. Also, if you'd like to get copies of the articles that we shared, again, the article, Turning on the Switch of Faith, or any of the articles we've shared in the past, simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get those to you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.